for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is the Wednesday morning service of October the 30th, 1996, of the Deliverance Training Seminar being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Dr. Bill Null is the speaker for the morning.
You may be seated. Brother Bud Unger, who's the president of our American Mission, the board of directors of our mission here in the United States, just arrived. Raise your hand, Bud. He's a former Southern Baptist preacher. Don't blame him for that. And he brought a friend, Nestor. Could you stand? Nestor Rivera, he's Puerto Rican, but he lives here in Arkansas, and he's also in ministry. So we're glad these men came to be with us today. Brother Null.
Now stand up, please. Come, Lord Jesus. Oh, come, Holy Spirit. Oh, Lord Jesus, we just praise you, bless you, and glorify you, God. Oh, God, open our ears that we might hear, Lord, and our eyes that we might see, Lord God. Lord Jesus, just give us the spirit of wisdom and knowledge, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Let your wisdom and your knowledge come down, Lord. Open your word to us, Lord, so we'll understand, Lord God. We just thank you and praise you and bless you for it, Lord. I thank you for all these wonderful men. Just thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus now, Lord. Amen. We agreed that I wouldn't talk but more than 20 minutes. And I'm going to talk about the rather limited subject of transference of spirits in 20 minutes. Oh, Lord. I looked at it and I prayed about it and I divided it into four different sections. And these are just main sections. You could talk about this subject for hours and hours and it has endless ramifications. But I picked four large general areas that we could discuss and we could share and we could ask questions about. You didn't come here to hear me talk about this, but you came that you might add what God has shown you to the other ministries here. So first we're going to talk about transference of spirits. And the first area I saw was accepting a spirit. Now, you know, when you ask someone to pray for you, you accept a spirit from them. You open your spirit to them. Now, in Numbers 27:18, God spoke to Moses, and he said, lay your hands on Joshua. 27:18. And the Lord said to Moses, take Joshua, son of Nun, with you, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hand on him before Ebenezer the priest and before the congregation, and anoint him. And then if we look at Deuteronomy 34:9, we'll see the results of this. In Deuteronomy 34:9, which says, Moses was dead. He says, now Joshua, son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. In 1 Timothy 4:4, God Paul said to Timothy, that stir up the gifts that are within you, that you receive by the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. And then he gives him an admonition in 1 Timothy 5:22. He says, lay hands on no man suddenly. Now I say to you that for every spiritual gift that God gives, there is a counterfeit. Remember in 2 Corinthians 11, it says that if there is any wonder that if Satan disguises himself as an angel of light, that he would send forth his workers as ministers of righteousness. I mean, he sends forth counterfeit workers that look like false. They are false apostles. They were talking about false apostles there. And so, when you see these good things, know that Satan can send forth a counterfeit. Now, I want you to compare in Leviticus 16:21 was the Day of Atonement. And that was the day that there were two goats were chosen. One was the Lord's goat and the other was the scapegoat. The Lord's goat was sacrificed as a sin offering and the blood was taken behind the veil. The second goat, the scapegoat, was brought forward. And here in verse 20-21 it says, "And Aaron shall lay both of his hands on the head of the live goat and confess over it all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions concerning all their sins, putting them on the head of the goat. And it shall send it away into the wilderness by the way of the hand of a suitable man. And the goat shall bear on itself all the iniquities into an uninhabited land, and he shall release the goat in the wilderness." There the spirit of these iniquities and sins were placed on the goat. Now, we all know that that was a type of Jesus Christ, and that was acted out and found fulfillment at the cross. Nevertheless, this is a spiritual principle. In Leviticus 4:4, for the sin offering, he says, "Shall bring a bull to the door of the tabernacle of meeting before the Lord, and he shall lay his hand on the bull's head." He was confessing that sin to the priest, laid his hands on the head of the bull, and transferred the sin to the bull. He identified the bull with the sin, and then they killed the bull. The bull paid the price for the sin. Because the law said the price of sin is death. They killed the bull, died for that sin when it was transferred onto his head. And so spirits are transferred by the laying on of hands. Now, we know in Matthew that Jesus transferred healing when he touched the leper. Matthew 8:3 said he said, "You can heal me if you will." And Jesus said, "I will." And he reached out and touched the leper. Conversely, when he was going through the crowd and the woman with the issue of blood said, "If I can just touch his garment, I can receive the spirit of healing." The power of healing was there to heal. He said, that spirit of healing can come forth. And she touched it, and Jesus said, "Who touched me?" I felt the essence go out. Again, transferred by the touching of the healing. Acts 8:27, the apostles in Samaria gathered, and Simon said and prayed, and these people received the Holy Ghost through the laying on the hands of the apostles. And so spirits can be transferred by the laying on of hands. You all know that whenever a witch is pregnant, the coven will gather around her and they will lay hands on her and impart familiar spirits into that fetus. It's generally done twice, when she first knows she's pregnant, and the second time when she's just before delivery. And familiar spirits are imparted into that child before he is born. I once prayed for a young gypsy girl who was the seventh daughter born under the veil, and grandmother, who was the source of income. She had the spirit of divination, and she was a fabulous fortune teller that people came from miles around. And she was dying, and they brought this girl in, and she said, "You are the chosen one, and I want to impart to you the spirit." And so, I can get into this, and I can talk for hours, and I have to keep looking at the clock. Her parents encouraged her. She accepted the spirit. She said something cold settled down on top of her, and she became a fortune teller as that spirit came in and possessed her. And the spirit screamed when she accepted Jesus and we commanded it to come out. And so the laying on of hands. Another type of accepting of experience is when you sit under or accept false teaching. 2 Corinthians 11:3-4 says, "If anybody preaches to you another Jesus, or you accept another spirit different from the one that you've accepted before, there a Christian is sitting and he's receiving false teaching, and they receive a spirit of another Jesus, different from the Jesus that you knew that was crucified on the cross." one that requires you to legalistically keep law, certain rules and regulations to maintain your righteousness. We all know of churches that do that. The Mormons have a different Jesus. The Jesus of salvation by works. The Jehovah's Witnesses have another Jesus that they preach. And there are some Christian, quote, Christian churches that have another Jesus that they preach, unfortunately. But I thank God that in all of these churches that there are saved Christians within them, and I pray for them. And I'll let it go at that. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And so sitting under accepting, now, Acts 3:6, Peter said to the man at the beautiful gate, said, look at us, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. He reached out and touched him, and when he touched him, he received strength, and he rose up, and leaping and walking and praising God. Now, Peter had within him the Holy Spirit and the spirit of healing that he imparted to that man, or the spirit of faith, and that's what he gave out. And I tell my people that if you allow someone who is under deception, a charismatic witch, someone who is under deception to pray for you, you will receive what they have in them. If they have rebellion in them, that is what you will receive. If they have deception in them, that is what you will receive. You will receive what that person has in them. They will give it to you. Be careful who you let lay hands on you. Okay, let's look at Galatians 3:1. Is another very powerful scripture. And Paul said to the Galatians, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? That word bewitched there is the standard Greek word for being smitten by the evil eye. And someone had come in, false teachers, legalistic teachers had come in and had smitten them, had cursed them with a spirit of witchcraft whereby they put control on them and they accepted a spirit of doctrinal legalism from sitting under false teaching and accepting it. 2 John 2:7, let's turn to that one. I'm not sure I can quote it correctly, so I better read it. For many deceivers have gone into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. If you sit under that teaching, you will receive that. You will receive that. They will say that Jesus Christ was just a good teacher, a great teacher, that we're supposed to learn from him. Unity tells you this. That is another Jesus. And you receive that spirit. Another way to receive a bad spirit is to support false ministries. Look at 2 John 10. 2 John 10, it says, if anybody comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, the doctrine in 2 John 7, do not receive him into your house nor greet him, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. If you greet and support a false ministry, then you share in the evil work, and a curse will come on you, and a demon can come into you. You can receive a false spirit from it. Look at 3 John. Go over to 3 John 6 through 8. Is this thing turned on? Can y'all hear me in the back?
Yes.
Okay. If you have, it said, starting in verse 5, Beloved, do faithfully whatever you do, for the brethren and for the strangers, who have borne witness of your love before the church. If you send them forward on their journey in a matter worthy of God, you will do well, because they went forth in his name's sake, taking nothing from the heathen. Therefore we ought to support such, that we may be fellow workers in the truth. You become a fellow worker, you receive the blessing that comes from this godly work. The blessings of that godly work will come back into your life. And that is a spirit of blessing. Blessing comes by spirits. And as you support that work, if you support godly apostolic works, Not all of us have been called to go to the mission field. Remember what David said. Those that stay with the stuff shall receive the same blessing, the same share as those who go to the battle. Same principle. God has kept you here, and He has kept you here to work and to support those that have gone out to do the battle. Then you share in the blessing that comes forth. You share in the blessing. You share in the curse. You see bad spirits if you support false ministry. The second thing, and so, these are accepting spirits. You accept these spirits by these actions. The second one are objects dedicated to spirits. Let's look at Acts 19. Oh, gosh. Acts 19:12. Here we see, it says, and God worked 19:11. Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons were brought from the body of the sick, and diseases left them, and evil spirits went out of them. Some of my good pastor friends tell me that those were all unsaved people that those evil spirits went out of. They were unbelievers. I said, what translation are you reading? It doesn't say they were unsaved in my Bible. Praise your Lord Jesus. Oh, God. Anyway, here we have things that are dedicated, blessed by the Holy Spirit, carried out, and the anointing. Now, you remember in the Scripture it said that if part of the holy offering is put into a cape and carried, the cape becomes holy. Holy Spirit is placed on these by prayer, blessings, and is carried forth. And that anointing goes with it. And the Holy Spirit, the delivering power of the Spirit of healing and deliverance, is carried by those handkerchiefs and aprons and by the prayer cloths that we send forth. I remember, we all know the story. We've all had people bring in underwear and pillowcases and pajamas and bed sheets, and we've anointed them with oil, and we've prayed over them and sent them home to unsaved loved ones, and we've seen them get delivered and healed and come to know the Lord. Well, I hope y'all have had that happen.
Amen. Sure.
And so what happens though if you have something that is dedicated to an ungodly God? Let's look at Deuteronomy 7:25. Brother Glenn's looked at that. We'll look at it again. It's 7:25. It says, you shall burn the carved objects of their gods with fire. You shall not covet the gold or silver that's on them, nor take it to yourself, lest you become snared by it, for it's an abomination to the Lord your God. Nor shall you bring an abomination into your house, lest you be doomed to destruction like it. You shall utterly detest it and utterly abhor it, for it is an accursed thing. And so if you have something that is dedicated to a demon, that's a nice little drum that my mother-in-law brought back to my son from Hayti. You know, it was a little drum, you know, and had a little goat hair on it, and it had a string, and he could beat it. It made all sorts of nice sounds. Later we found out it had anthrax on it. It had anthrax. I was a public health officer, and it came through from CDC a thing that says, these things have anthrax. No? So I had caught it. It had anthrax on it, which is anthrax is a bad disease. It's a disease that can kill you. We had some bookends. And we had this old lady working for us who was a practicing witch. She was a charismatic witch. We really didn't know, but she was actually a practicing witch. And she played bingo all the time. And I put her money under the bookend. And she said, oh, always put my money under that bookend because I always win at bingo when you put that money under the bingo. And I said, it got me so scared I took them all out and burned them. God opened it to me that those things were dedicated to demons, and he convicted me, and I also burned my occult library at that time, and and all of my son's books on I went into my son's library and I stripped out all of his books on mythology. He was a Greek and Latin scholar, and he had all these books, and I stripped all those things out. It was 2 o'clock in the morning, and I was loading them into my tractor and carrying them down the ditch. And then we had a large house on the side of the river, and I had this little tractor, you know, with them. And I ran, and I was taking them down there, and I started this huge fire, and I was throwing them in about 1 o'clock in the morning, and my neighbor came down, and he said, "Doc, is that you down there?" "Yeah." "I was ready to call the fire department. I thought we had a fire." "I said, it's a fire, all right." "He said, what are you doing at 1 o'clock in the morning? Are you drunk?" I said, "No, I'm not drunk, Will." He said, "It's 1 o'clock in the morning. Just burning trash. Go back to bed." And I burned all those books and all that stuff, and I got out of my house. But if you have things in your home that are dedicated to idols, if you wear occult jewelry, if you wear medallions, talisman, St. Christopher's medals, four-leaf clovers, anything that lucky pennies, anything that is dedicated to a God other than Jesus Christ is dedicated to the God of luck. Who is luck? Anybody know who luck is? He is the Egyptian god of good fortune.
Right.
Also called Gad, in case you're interested. And the curse of Gad is listed in Isaiah 63:4, the gambler's curse. But that's another subject. I don't want to get on that. And so, if you've got idols, all right. The third thing, I've got 4 more minutes. The third thing is rebellion against God and His appointed authority. I have one example that I want to bring up. Is 1 Samuel 15:22-23 there. Saul says, "Is not obedience better than sacrifice? For rebellion is as of the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness and iniquity as unto idolatry." When you, and I have a whole list of scriptures here, Daniel 4:25, Romans 13:1, 1 Peter 2, 13-14, Titus 3:1, Hebrews 13:17, all these scriptures say that God raises up the authority, that we should be obedient to authority, whether it's a civil authority in our nation or whether it's the ecclesiastical authority that God has placed you under, the pastor He's placed you under, the job He's placed you in. Now, if that man calls to you to do something ungodly, you should refuse, but you be willing to accept the consequences. The draft resister who felt that God is calling him to be a conscientious objector and refused to go to war should be willing to go to jail. The person who God calls to sit in front of the abortion clinic should be willing to accept the consequences of the law and pray that God will change the law. I can't, I don't want to get into that. That's Ephesians 2:12 says that it speaks of the prince of the power of the air who rules the sons of disobedience. 1 Samuel 16:17 says that God sent a evil angel on Saul for his disobedience. And Proverbs 17:11 says that an evil man seeks only rebellion, and an evil angel will be sent to him. Now, the word says an evil messenger, but if you look it up, it's the Hebrew word for angel. And the last way that we could receive transference of spirits would be through some specific sins. I listed fornication, the eating or drinking of blood, and food offered to idols. 1 Corinthians 6:15-16 says, "What, know you not that when you're joined to a prostitute, you become one flesh with her? And that all other sins a man commits are outside his body, but this is a sin he commits against his own body." Eating of blood is forbidden in Acts 15:20-29. And Genesis 9:4 says that the nephah is in the blood. Nepha can be altly translated the life or soul. I believe the soul is in the blood. I think that Jehovah's Witnesses have something when they say you shouldn't take blood transfusions. I don't think you're damned to hell for it, you understand, like they do. But I think it is unwise. I think it is better if you auto-donate your own blood. If you have to take blood transfusions, then I would have you have someone pray over them and break the soul ties to the person who donated it and curse the demons in it and so forth. We're finding, medical science is finding out more and more that all kind of things come through the blood that they have any idea what they are. They just find more and more stuff. Most destroying diseases are destroying demons. They're called slow viruses is a new word for them now. They're slow viruses. You just heard about a slow virus over in England from cows who had been fed blood. And they transmitted this. The cows ate the blood and they transmitted it to the people who ate the cow's meat. It's a slow virus and causes you to go crazy and destroys your brain. Food offered to idols. Acts 15 again, 20 and 29. And Numbers. In Numbers 25, I spoke of this earlier. We talked about the curse. But those people went, let's read Numbers 20, 25, verse 1. Then Israel remained in the acacia groves, and the people began to commit whoredom with the women of Moab. They invited the people to the sacrifices of their gods, and the people ate and bowed down to their gods. So Israel was joined to Baal of Peoria, and the anger of God was aroused against Israel. And he said, take all the leaves of the people and hang the offenders before God out in the sun, that the fierce anger of the God may be turned away. And then a plague went out, and 25, they killed all the men who were guilty, and then 25,000 other people died. But here we see it's because they committed whoredom. Now that whoredom means, that word means both spiritual and physical whoredom. They ate the food offered to these idols. And they say, when someone tells you this food's been offered to an idol, don't eat it. Now, Brother Parrish says, you know, that when he's in the jungle and he eats what's offered that they set before him, then doesn't ask questions. But if they say this has been offered to an idol, he won't eat it. And that's what the Bible says. That is your protection. But don't eat food that you know has been offered to idols, been blessed by other gods. Don't eat blood. And those are some of the things I offer you to talk about. I've gone over my time by several minutes. I apologize. We're going to divide up now. I know that there are lots of other things that's up there, lots of other areas of this that we could discuss. Now, we're going to divide up into four groups. And we're going to divide about right here. And this will be one group. And that'll be one group. And this will be one group. And this will be one group. Okay. We're going to have four moderators. Brother Gene Moody, where are you? Now, you need to pick a secretary who will record all of your scriptures, and then be prepared to give a 5-minute report on what y'all will discuss that area that I've written down for you. David Broxton, where's David? David, you come up and take this group up here. Your area will be objects dedicated to demons. Monty Merkley, where's Monty? Well, now, Monty, I didn't realize you were up here. I have to move you. And Bob Schrank, where's Bob? He's right over here. Okay. Would you take this group over here, sir? And you'll talk about rebellion against God and His appointed authorities will be your area of discussion.
We just thank and we praise you, Lord. Oh, God, praise your name. Well, we would like to have a short report from each group. Gene, who did you have as secretary? Would you come up and give us a report, please?
Praise the Lord. I'm Sister Landry. We didn't get past laying on the hands. But it was a good discussion, praise God. We titled it, How Can We and How Do We Accept Spirits? And we began with the laying on the hands, and it was such a thorough discussion that we didn't get past it. But we started with terminology. Transferring, as the brother was teaching earlier, is one way of laying on the hands. But also in that, we need to learn how we receive or not receive. We can be open to receiving a spirit, and we can not be open to receiving a spirit through the transferring of laying on hands. Being ignorant, not according to the Word of God, not knowing the Word of God. You know, like the Word of God says, we're to study, show ourselves approved, right, divine, the Word of truth, the work, we're not to be ashamed. Okay, if we're not knowledgeable in the Word of God, then we can be very ignorant to the ways of the enemy. So we need to be knowledgeable and learn about the imparting, whether it be a good impartation or through, you know, by the laying on hands through a godly person or an ungodly person. Also, we learned that we should continually be watchful. The Word of God says to watch and pray. And we should be very watchful. And you know, even those that are around us, you know, especially in a large group of people, you know, the Word of God says we're supposed to know those that labor among us. We're not to allow a praise for it. Okay? Y'all forgive me. Y'all pray for me right now. Praise God. But, thank you. Thank you. I know the fruit. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. We're to try the spirits. The Word of God says, that, and that scripture came to me, that, beloved, we are to try the spirits. We're to know that those spirits that's coming, that's in the people, if they're whether of God or not. Praise God. And, you know, we don't have to, just because, allow someone to lay hands on you. You know, that's not just, you know, you just don't have to just do it because, you know. One of the things that we listened to a testimony by Sister Moody, and women tend to allow that to happen to them because they're in a submissive role, you know, and they want to submit to authority or to a male minister or to even a woman that's, you know, ministering, you know, maybe an elder in the church or whatever. And we tend to want to say, okay, you know, and go for it. But you don't have to do that. Because the same authority is within us through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we should not be fearful. Fear is an open doorway for the enemy to come in. Fear should be cast out. The Lord does not give us fear, so that devil has to go in Jesus' name. We should be men of God, should stand in their authority in the church and in the home. They should stand in authority. And even if their wives or, you know, other, especially a pastor, if there are women in the church, you know, they should be a spiritual head for them. And they should, you know, teach the people, you know, about these things. A lot of people, a lot of saints of God don't even know about it. So they need to be taught, whether it's in the home or whether it's outside of the home in the church. Praise God. We also should know that we are covered by the blood of Jesus. And we should stay continually covered by the blood of Jesus. One of the notes that I had, it just come to me, is that we should also walk in the whole armor of God. And because one of the things we should constantly have up, the Word of God says, our shield of faith that darts away the wiry darts of the devil. And let's see, what else? establishing the fact that the spirits cannot come through the blood. The demonic spirits cannot come through the blood of Jesus. We should come into knowing, not just a head knowledge, but a heart knowledge also, that the blood of Jesus is a covering. Just like when he told Moses to apply the blood and the death angel had to pass, we should understand that, you know, we should be covered with the blood of Jesus and keep ourselves covered with the blood of Jesus. Oh, yes, the laying on the hands, Brother Moody brought up about laying on the hands of men with women and women with men, you know, and vice versa like that, how the impartation of sexual spirits can be transferred. You know, we love the brethren, you know, and the Word of God says we're supposed to greet our brethren with a holy kiss. But, you know, we should also be aware. Discernment should come into action. And we should discern, you know, the Lord gives us the spirit of discernment, praise God. And we should discern, you know, not to just let anybody just hug us, too, sometimes, you know, because sometimes they're not hugging just to say, oh, I love you. They're hugging because they want to, well, I hate to say it like that, but they just want to feel on you, you know. But we need to be discerning about the impartation of sexual spirits. And we each have a responsibility of our own. We each have a responsibility. We're a body of Christ, and we're supposed to be watching and praying for one another. But, you know, we have to look out for self, too, as far as I've got to be responsible to discern and not say, well, my brother has to discern for me. I have to be responsible to know the truth, the word of God, and not say, you have to know the truth for me. I have to be able to dispel and cast out and not say somebody else has to do it for me. And one of the main things, the last thing that I have in my notes here is don't become paranoid and don't be fearful, because those are open doorways to receive and accept demonic spirits.
Monty, who did you? Got 5 minutes.
Our topic we were given was fornication, eating blood, and food offered to idols. We had a real good group, covered a lot of things. We started out by talking about communion. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 20, talks about taking a communion offered to demons. And then also in chapter 11, where it talks about the communion that we take in symbolic of Jesus Christ, the difference, and that if you have ever taken a mass where there's been transubstantiation, you can receive those evil spirits by that, or if it's been offered up to idols. So we discussed that and the different things about communion. We also discussed a lot about eating the food and how do you draw the line, because there is no meat that you can eat that is going to be 100% without blood or fat. And so some of this is going to have to be according to your conscience. Obviously, we talked a lot about the necessity of praying over our food. And those are things we talked about. And then we ended it up with talking about, even though we talked about a lot of food and how much we need to watch what we eat, that is an important fact, but I think it's even more important for Christians to stay on target with Jesus is more concerned what's in the heart. The attitudes of the heart, hatred, bitterness, resentment, jealousy, God are more concerned about than what's on the outside. But it is important how we eat and that we do pray over our food and to obey the command of not eating meat with blood. Spirits can come in that way. What was someone we mentioned? Spirit of death, carnivorous sickness that comes in through that. Many things. That was our discussion anyway on that. Also, we touched a little bit on fornication. We discussed where having sexual relationships, there is a transference of spirits when that happens, when you have a relationship outside of marriage. And also, we discussed a little bit, that came to me, I was on the TV, that transference of spirits can come in through the eyes. Television sets, if you just give yourself place over to it, you can receive spirits. And to probably end it, we discussed that transference of spirits, to not become paranoid over this, can really only happen when you come into agreement or create a godly soul tie. Just because you sit in a meeting with someone and they're teaching something that you don't agree with doesn't mean you're going to have a spirit transferred. But if you do come into agreement, if you sit under the teachings and you're agreeing totally without searching the scriptures and deciding on your own merits, you can receive spirits. So it's something that we need not to get paranoid about. Usually it's things that are transferred into us when we're not paying attention, when we're just saying whatever, and teach us instead of knowing these things for ourselves. I'll probably end it with there. Mostly we spent a lot of time talking about the food and the merits of food and how nowadays the food is processed. We have a hard time knowing how the blood was shed from it, so it's always wise to pray over it. Yes.
Yeah, we talked about objects dedicated to spirits. And I'll just kind of run through we had a lot of stuff come out, kind of run through a brief overview. Of course, the verses in Deuteronomy 7 about you need to burn, destroy the objects regardless of gold and silver. We talked about Leviticus 11, the whole chapter. Some of this I didn't quite throw it out. Whole chapter on unclean animals. I'm not quite sure how that tied in with it. Psalm 115, 3-8, we talked about idols that have silver and blood. Ezekiel 13, women who have soul. What we were talking about was how spirits reside in objects and what we need to do about it. And we finally found the example in Joshua 7 of Achan. Remember, who took the Babylonian garment and brought a curse on the whole land? That was a good type. The curse on Israel, that was a type of that. Then we went into talking about different conversation just went off from there. How Kmart stores are there's a lot of Satanism apparently in behind that organization. You have to be careful with articles that you buy at different stores, even here in the United States, not just occult objects, because you don't know. The New Age has come so prolifically in our country, right? We don't know what even harmlessly is may be embedded with spirits. It's best to pray over stuff. We even talked about. I remember one time long ago, Harlan Dean was telling me about how workers who build a home and are laying brickwork and building a frame, they're cursing and blaspheming God while they're building a house. And you can actually have curses in the very structure of a home. And talked about how, so your home can have curses because of where it was constructed and how it was constructed. So then we thought, well, you need to break the curses of that. And possibly, interesting enough, in Leviticus 14 is a chapter about cleansing a home of the leprosy on the walls. And that's interesting. That may be a spiritual type to that, cleansing the curse that's in the very fabric of a home. Talked a lot about self-inflicted curses, how we put curses on one another. We curse ourselves with words. Let's see. The enemies, what to do about objects. Okay, we talked about what do you do when there's an object in your house that you can't remove. You're a child and your parents have some Buddhist object, you know, a Hindu object. Or you're a wife and your husband's not saved. What I run into is you're a kid and they have a statue of Mary in the hall. What do you do? Well, one thing we talked about is you can anoint it with oil and bind it and rebuke that demon and forbid it to get near you, but you can't steal it and break it because it's not yours. So you have authority, and we found the first 2 Peter 2:7-9, how Lot was vexed with the unrighteous deeds of Sodom, and he was in the midst of them, and yet he was somehow protected. The Lord knows how to protect those that are his. Then we talked about how people are owned by certain objects. They're owned by their cars and yards and houses. They don't own their homes. And then I brought up the point, there is the ultimate occult object that we never mention. And I know I've cleansed homes before with demonic objects and, you know, cast out frogs or weird occult things. And yet right there prominent in the living room, you know, with all the furniture aimed towards it, is the most occult object of all. It's the television. And yet people will cleanse the house and leave that abominable thing sitting there. Now, I'm not anti-television, so you ought to throw it out, although I don't have one in my house. My escape is the Internet, okay? Which my wife tells me it still looks like a TV, you know? But the television is an occult object, obviously, that pumps far more garbage, wouldn't you agree, into the home. Then we talked about the occult that's on tattoos, the influence of tattoos and T-shirts. I even share with everybody that I carry occult objects with me every day. I have occult objects right here in my wallet. It's on the dollar bill. It's a Masonic symbol, and I'm not ready to give this up yet. So I don't know what to do about the fact that there's a Masonic symbol on my money, but I just pray over it, and I'm not going to burn it yet. So we're just surrounded with the occult everywhere. And the music, we talked about one of the ladies brought up that even as the Lord inhabits the praises of his people, Psalm 22:3, right? So the demons inhabit the worldly music. And finally, the last point brought up was whenever you move into a previously owned house, when you rent a house, or when you go into a hotel room, you must be cognizant of the demonic influences. How many of y'all know that's true? Amen. Particularly hotel rooms. I know Norman and I was traveling with him, and we would go to hotel rooms and stuff. You just feel, except in the Amish country. You know, we stay in the Amish country. It's interesting. There seemed to be a peace over that hotel, but you have to do intelligent spiritual warfare against the demonic. Ah, yes, all the demons are getting loose from people that are particularly when they die, and that where demons are looking for somewhere else to go. Yeah. Well, I don't hang out. Yeah. Yeah. Don't sleep in a funeral parlor. Okay. The enemies get you. Anyway, the bottom line is there is so much to this. I mean, it's just, but I guess to follow our sister's thing, don't be paranoid. We have authority in Jesus Christ. Amen? Praise God.
Bob?
Well, we had an interesting time, and I have put this together like 3 different times, and I don't know that I have it all organized yet. But we had the subject of rebellion and the transfer of rebellion from one person to another. I believe that was the topic. And it seems to me that rebellion is defined as just resisting authority. And so we kind of walked around various authorities, and I tried to put this together. Isaiah 63:9 indicates that when you rebel against the authority of God, it grieves His Holy Spirit. And in Matthew 28:18, it says that all authority comes from Christ. He is the ultimate authority in our lives. And there is a transfer of rebellion that can go from father to son, that was brought out, or mother to daughter, whatever, that it's an infectious thing. Rebellion is highly infectious because it seems to appeal, I suppose, to the Adamic nature. I saw four different areas of authority that we kind of muddled through. One was the authority of God. One was the authority of the family. One was the authority in the church, and one is secular authority or governments. In the realm of the secular, kind of going backwards, the Romans 13 was brought out about submitting to governments, secular governments. And the point was made that you submit to God rather than man when the government infuses into your spiritual life. That if you can pay your taxes, etc., but when, as in the case of Daniel, he was told not to pray, he had to draw the line. Or the three boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were told that they had to bow down to the statue, and at that point they resisted the secular authority. They faced the consequences of being thrown into the fire, but that's when they drew the line of submission to secular authority. The submission to the family, 1 Peter 3 was brought out, which talks about wives being submissive to their husbands and children to their parents, even when they're not always right. And then the submission to the church, I believe that was borne out when we talked about Miriam, who rebelled against Moses and was struck with leprosy. And we said that the rebellion can be reversed by acts of obedience. And in the realm of the leprosy, we talked about Naaman, who was told to dip seven times, and the 10 lepers were told to go to the priest. And so an act of obedience can reverse the trouble in your life that comes through rebellion. It has to be a decision to obey. And I think that was pretty much it. We brought out Matthew 22:15, which talks about the fact that Jesus took a coin and paid his taxes. And it says, of course, that rebellion, sin of rebellion is as grievous to God as the sin of witchcraft. And we didn't really get into the linking of the two, but I suspect they're very closely linked. Same Hebrew word. Oh, better. And then we also mentioned that you can break a godly relationship, and it's, I believe one person even brought out that he's seen broken bones as a result of breaking godly relationships, breaking up a marriage, breaking up a church. And then the last point that came out was that many times you can get so concerned about obedience to secular authority that you lose sight of your mission to Christ. So I think, did I cover it all?
I asked the people that acted as secretaries, I'd like a copy of your notes. I will return them to you so that we can have them typed up for general distribution. Thank you very much for your attention. You've been very attentive. Lord Jesus, let's just stand and pray now. You want to bless the food?
Yes, I want to make an announcement. We would
like for each of you to check the address and everything that you've given so that we'll be sure we have the correct address for everybody for future mailing. So if you'll check at the table back there with the girls and be sure that what you've given them is correct or that we haven't mistranslated it.
I'm going to ask Brother Harlan and Bill and Brother Glenn to just meet here a minute so we can decide who's going to moderate the question and answer period and who are those that are going to form part of the panel. We're back at 1:30. 1:30. Don't forget to hand your questions.
Let's pray, people. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your goodness, Lord. Lord, I thank you for the spirit of unity that you've allowed to flow through, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the spirit of unity and oneness, Lord God. Make us all one with you, Lord Jesus. Just make us all one with you. Lord, we hold up the cooks in the kitchen now and the kitchen crew, Lord. We ask you to bless them, Lord God. Just bless them, Lord God. Bless this food that you prepared, that they prepared, Lord, for our consumption, Lord. Just bless it now, Lord God. And Lord, just keep us ever mindful of the needs of others, Lord Jesus, and help us move forward this day and open the eyes of our understanding, Lord. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.